I really love, especially in the Psalms, other alternative translations. The Message is really good. I've got one here called Poetry on Fire. And it's very similar, and it uses similar kind of language towards it. Drink deeply of the kindness of God. I've got it here in Psalm 34, which is echoing that phrase and feasting on the goodness of God. This one, Psalm 34, says, Lord, I'm bursting with blessings over what you've done for me. Isn't that fantastic? It's just fantastic. And I get to the end of Psalm 34. Maybe I'll read some more of it later, I don't know. But it says, the wicked commit slow suicide, for they hate and persecute the lovers of God. Make no mistake about it, God will hold them guilty and punish them. They'll pay the penalty, but the Lord has paid for the freedom of his servants, and he will freely pardon those who love him. He will declare them free and innocent when they turn and hide themselves in him. Think of this. This is David in the Old Testament seeing redemptive power in Jesus. It's just incredible, isn't it? And when it's written in language like this, and the Message has got a very similar tone to it, it's accessible to us. It brings it alive. And I think for the Psalms especially, I'd really commend that. Try some of those alternative ways of reading it. They really come alive in a wonderful way when we do that. It's Advent Sunday. We already know that. We've got a candle lit. Advent comes from a Latin word, Adventus. I learnt Latin at school, so I remember that. No, I didn't. I looked it up. I can only remember Mo Amassa Mat. I'm a Bortis, I'm a Bittis, I'm a Bunt. We could go on, yes, conjugating the word for I love forever and ever, and I haven't got a clue what it means. And had all these wonderful tenses. It's Latin anyway, and it means coming, basically. It could be an event that's coming. The advent of television, for instance, was when TV was launched. But the advent, and here is the advent, not just of a saviour, but the advent of a kingdom of which there would be no end of the increase. Isn't that fantastic? And we're marking that with a light, the light coming into the world. The other thing that's said is it's Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. So it's a celebration of a world-changing moment. And it still is changing the world. Praise God, it's still changing the world. Some TV presenters and some news media and some are beginning to catch on that the world is getting better. Despite all the woe and stuff like that. I was at a community meeting, Talk Broadfield. Was anybody else there here on Thursday night? And it's had a new chairman voted in last time, a lady called Sue. Sue Knight, she lives down near us, down at the bottom end. Lady full of energy. She said, I've got loads of energy, so bring it on and I'll do it. But, you know, she went through that meeting, controlled it really, really well, for which I really thanked her. But she was very positive. She wanted to thank people. But at the end, she says, just let me look at a few things that people complained about 2 years ago in Talk Broadfield. And let me just show you what happens. And she went through and ticked off various things, said, this is happening. This has happened. This is going to happen starting in spring. This has happened. This has happened. She says, there's only one item left on that list of complaints. Broadfield is becoming a beautiful and good place and will continue to be. And she said, and I want to be part of that, and I want to encourage you all to get in behind that. And I thought, thank you, Lord. You put somebody in that position, even though they're not a Christian, who can see the goodness of God being poured out into the neighbourhood and changing things. She wanted to be very positive. And when people started to do about negative stuff, she closed them down quite quickly and said, let's deal with that in a different way. You know, well, if you've got an issue, have you actually sent that issue to the council or to the police? No, you haven't. Well, do it then. Don't bring it up in this meeting. Let's make this a forum for actually improving the neighbourhood. And it was just really, really good. And I did, I'm just encouraged, because one of the prayer targets the Lord gave me was to believe for a food bank being created, particularly more locally. And I just mentioned that at the end of the meeting, and somebody said, oh, there's a meeting next Wednesday. Do you want to come? And I looked at my diary and said, no, I've already got Lighthouse commitments. I can't come on Wednesday. And then I heard later Phil's going. Praise God. Thank you, Phil. I just commend that and pray for Phil as he goes, that he'll feel empowered and have wisdom, and we just start to see these things happening. It's what God wants to do in the neighbourhood. So thank you, Phil. Feel empowered and know that God is at work right now and has been at work to bring this place to to be the neighbourhood that he wants it to be. And I'm grateful for that. The Advent, the light, come into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. It's changing the world. Is it changing you? Is it changing you? And my title this week is not Advent, actually. I just thought of a slide because we were lighting the candles. It's, where are you living from? I think, what a weird thing to say. And where are you living from? And I hope that will become apparent as I speak. Last time I spoke, I talked about the need for us to have vision. And that wasn't just vision for things like a food bank and stuff, but it was vision for who we are, who we've been created to be, a personal vision that enables us to see ourselves the way Father God created us to be, to know the good works that he has put in our life, those things that he beforehand, before the foundation of the world, he saw in you and intended that you would walk in those good things. And because God has come on earth and manifested himself in human form, even right at the beginning, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because it says right at the beginning, God spoke and he created everything. He spoke, the stars and everything came into being just because he spoke. And then he came and he planted a garden. He didn't speak the garden, he planted a garden. And he walked in that garden with us. And we see the Lord, from our perspective, we see the Lord in Jesus, in the Lord walking in very human terms. God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And we start to see the Lord in very human terms. But somehow I think we get stuck with the idea, then it's all about us. It's all about us and how we live on earth. And actually we forget that we need our mind changed so that we can see that actually we were created in his image and likeness. It says at the beginning of Genesis. Not that he decided to look like us so he could walk amongst us. We were made in his image and likeness. And actually it's not all about us. It's all about him. And yet because he interacts with us so kindly and so actively in the earth, we can suddenly feel, oh, this is cool. This is what's meant to happen here on earth right now. It's about getting us sorted out. And it's about him and his kingdom. And this affects the vision for our lives and how we see ourselves. We need that mind change. And I won't take you back to Romans 12. Well, why not? About being transformed by the renewing of our minds. You've heard that plenty of times. But we need to understand in the vision of our lives that we were created in his likeness and image, his image, and for his glory and for his goodness. So when we're thinking about where we're living from, many of us are still living from earth. We're still actually engaged in earth without knowing who we are in heaven. So I think it's time for us to awaken our spirit senses. We sing loads of songs and we have loads of verses. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You start thinking of songs that talk about senses. Be thou my vision. That's another one. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Come on, you must be able to think of some now. Kevin will have a whole ref before we get to the end of this. But songs that talk about seeing, looking, tasting, hearing. Thank you. We could just name loads. I only put those three down. There's Bible verses. That's why I got Psalm 34 open, because Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Taste and see. Did the Lord actually mean one me to go, and taste and see? I don't think so. We know that, don't we? We know it's not that. We know it's meant to be our spirit senses. So the verses speak to us to speak to our spirit senses that we would look with the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And that we'd hear with ears that are spiritual, talking to our spirit. And that we'd taste and see and be refreshed in our spirit, man. And that'll work its way out to our flesh. But it doesn't work its way in from our flesh to our spirit. It works its way out from our spirit to our flesh, where we walk in the benefit of God. Do you know, it was interesting, Viv talked about hearing once. I put that in, and I was going to put a Bible verse, but I found over 600 Bible verses with listen and hear in. 600. Two ears, two eyes, two nostrils to breathe, one mouth. Hear, see. Get the proportions right. We need to engage our spirit man, our inner being. We need to start to live from here, from the spirit. The Hebrew word is gut, kishka, from your guts. Do you know they found brain cells in your stomach? So you've got another brain down here. You live from down here. You live, when they talk about gut feelings, some of us, our brains are totally in our stomach when we see a plate of donuts. It's not for me, gladly, but anyway, we can live from down here and actually let that feed up here on our minds. We need to drink deeply. I love that. I'm so glad we've read that, because I was going to read this bit in Psalm 2 about drinking deeply, looking and seeing to see his glory, listening to his word. When you think Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, all of the prophets, all in the Old Testament, all engaged with Lord God Almighty. Moses was called a friend of God. David was a man after God's heart. Elijah walked in such a way that he was taken up in a whirlwind. He didn't even die. Enoch walked with God and he was not. He was taken up. Old Testament, before Jesus, how can that be? Because they listened and they heard. They saw. And they responded. And they responded, it tells us in Hebrews, by faith. How much more now for us who stand on the other side of the Advent story and through to the story at Passover of the death and resurrection? How much more should we stand in the ability to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit? And to actually come to a place of intimacy and knowledge of him in every single moment of our lives. Gunilla's got a new toy for her birthday. Katie bought it for her. And it's a little timer strapped on her belt and it buzzes and you can set it for whatever you like, 10 minutes, half an hour. And every now and again you see Gunilla flinch like this. And it's there just so she, at that moment, she knows, I just need to just speak out thanks to God, or just, so it becomes a habit pattern for her to just, oh Lord, I need to thank you. And then one day without the buzzer, it'll just be there. Because we need to awaken our spirit senses to actually move our mindset and change the way we live to be more focused on the spirit realm, to start seeing with the spirit eye. I see angels constantly because the Lord has opened my spirit eyes. When we had the house group on Tuesday night, and then the folks came over from Horsham to talk about Sozo. Man, it's good job angels don't take physical form. Man, we'd have been so hot and the walls would have exploded, because there was such an angelic presence in the room and there were so many angels cramming the room that night. It was just incredible. And the angels were there to start to touch and minister and be assigned to different lives. There's just little lights went on in people's hearts and things were being shared. And it was interesting that one of the ladies from Horsham then said, there's angels of revelation in the room. That she was aware as well. And it is just, if we open our spirit eyes, we start to see. Do you know there was a choir standing here this morning? I couldn't count them actually, because it was kind of just difficult to see them, to count them. It's weird, because if you just transplant your spirit eye vision over it, there must have been one in the bucket and some on the chairs and goodness knows where, because they were just here. And I said, Lord, are they coming in to join with our worship? What are they here for? The choir to join with our worship? He says, no, you're meant to join with theirs. Okay, because they were already in it. You see, they were already in it. And we have our church angel, seraphim, here, present. And there are other angels assigned to people already in this room to work with you, to help you. It says that in Psalm 34. It says, when he cries out, the angels stoop to listen and act and bring the power of God into our lives. We need our spirit senses alert and aware that as we begin to pray, as we begin to live our lives, we have every reason to continually be thankful, to continually be speaking praise, to continually be in awe of him. And we say it's all done by faith. What on earth is faith anyway? It's a gift from God, that's it. It's not something you can nail down and write a metaphysical definition of something of it. It's just, it's a gift. And it's a gift that comes when we look at him. When the Israelites were in the desert and they just, you know, another rebellion had gone on and there were serpents killing them all and the Lord said to Moses, raise up a staff with a serpent on the top, and when they look at it, they will be healed. When they look at it, how does that work? Just looking means you're healed. Why? Because the looking created faith. Which is different to the verse I've got here. Faith comes by hearing. But maybe we need to look, fix our eyes on heaven and look at God, who is the one who gifts faith to us. And when we hear his word, faith rises for us to act on it. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is that word of God coming out of your CD player or in the car or out of your phone? Does he call you on your mobile and say, by the way, I've got a word? No, he speaks into your spirit. And that living, active word comes into your life and you start to believe that things are going to change and be different. And when we believe, they actually happen. Because they're already released in heaven. They're already released in heaven. Things you're holding out for right now, whether you're in a hope stage or faith stage, things you're holding out for are being released from heaven. How much easier is it for you to see that if you awaken your spirit senses and know where you are? You're not sitting on a blue chair in Broadfield. Where are you? Somebody said seated in heavenly places. Are we sure about that? Galatians on the last verse here. This is one thing Paul wanted to find out from them in Galatia. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected in the flesh? Okay? Perfected in the flesh, sitting on a blue chair in Broadfield. Or finishing by the Spirit, I'm seated in heavenly places. You are sitting on a blue chair. That's true. But there's a greater truth, that you are in heavenly places with Christ. I hope you're staying with this. It's in him. It's in him. In the beginning, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, it was with God. Oh, and it was God. That's because it was Jesus and the Father, so actually the two were together and they were one. All means everything, in case you hadn't figured that one out. Everything, all. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So all things means all things. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So within him and within his creative word was life, life-giving, that we would have life, life on earth and life eternal, and that life was light. And it was the word. It's complicated. For in him, but it isn't, we live and move and exist. It's Acts 17:28. In him, we live and move and exist. So whether or not, at this moment in time, the people who arrived at the Friday meal have faith to believe that their lives are in Christ, do you know what? They are. They're not living by faith from a position of being seated in heavenly places. But their lives are in Christ because they only exist because his word gives them life. Do you see that? If his word wasn't giving them life, they wouldn't exist. They are sustained. Their very molecules hold together because he speaks a word. So whether they believe it or not, whether they accept it or not, the truth is they are part of his spoken word. So when we look at the people in the world around us, we need to look and say all things were created by him, and we need to start to be thankful. And when we look at these people, and when the Bible talks about do it to at least one of these your brothers, he isn't talking just about the church, he's talking to everyone whom he's made. Because they are brothers to us because they were created in the image of God and are sustained by the word of Jesus. You mean those who aren't so nice? Yeah. Absolutely. They're made by him, created by him, imagined by him, held together by him. Well, we need to see with the spirit eye. When we look at these lovely people who God is placing before us, we need to see with the spirit eye and say the word of God is in this life. How much value will I put on a person if I believe with all my heart that God has placed his life within this person, that God himself spoke this person into being, that God himself has purpose and desire for this person? And if he valued them enough and us enough to die to redeem that, how much should we value them? We need to see with our spirit eye. It's very, very easy to take offense from people. Isn't it? We can do it in the church. So we can do it much easier with non-believers. Take offense. It's just what the enemy wants. Take offense. Get the huff. Harumph, harumph. Break relationship with people. Cut yourself off. It's just what the enemy wants. We're given here to maintain relationship. Above everything, we're to maintain relationship. We're to prize relationship above everything because God prizes relationship above everything, because that's what he died for, that he wouldn't have to break relationship. In him we live and move and exist. All life is in him. In Ephesians 1:9, and it's just loads of in him verses, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Wow. Wow. The mystery held within the heavens, held in the courts of heaven, within the courts of God, his eternal purpose, his eternal mind, the knowledge of God, his almighty presence, his will is being made known to us. What? According to his begrudging moment? No, according to the kind intention which he purposed what? In him. In Jesus. Colossians 1:16, 17 says, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Have we got that? Everything, 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 everything is his. We must raise our spirit awareness. We must raise the notion that we can be in him, in his presence. The sweet presence of God can be upon us constantly. He's died to win you a place in the courts of heaven. He died so that you could be raised up. In his resurrection, not you will be, you are raised. You are raised. Not will be, you are. And we need to start to live a life where we live from his presence. I think this is the biggest challenge we have in our repentant hearts. Repentance means turns around, think differently about your life. And we need to start thinking about what it's like to live from the presence of God instead of living from earth. When you pray, do you feel like you're on earth crying to heaven, trying to call down favor from heaven, hoping that somewhere a voice will be heard amidst the gazillions of other voices heard, because the stars are all singing to the Lord, and there's a few of those up there. So all the stars are singing to heaven. The whales and all the sea creatures are singing to heaven and giving God praise. And then us little humans are crying out and saying, Lord, please notice me. And you think, oh, well, maybe he will. Maybe he won't. I don't know. So you're praying and you're feeling like your prayers are coming from earth. And sometimes you're not even sure they're getting through to heaven. What if you realize that because you are redeemed, you now are seated in heavenly places with Christ? That you have been made a son of the Most High and the Living God? That he has purposes and desires for you that he had in his heart from before the foundation of the world? And he draws you up into the courts of heaven and he seats you right there with Jesus Christ, and you stand there and then you begin to pray. In the court of heaven, you begin to pray. Can you be heard in the court of heaven? Nehemiah had to go into the court. He was a cupbearer to the king, remember? And he couldn't open his mouth because he might die. And he went in, he said, pray that I'll get favor to God. And he goes into the presence of the king and he opens his mouth. And the king says, what's the matter with you, your long face, Nehemiah? And God opens the door to an incredible outpouring of restoration. You are in the court of heaven. You are in the court of the Most High, the Living God, the King of all. Him who said there will be no end to the increase of his government and of peace and of his kingdom. There is no end. You are with him in heaven. How does that change the way you pray? If you're standing with Father God, creator of all things, or seated, it doesn't matter how you feel you want to be, stand, sit on his knee, do what you like. But you're there in the presence of Father God in his courts, and he's whispering in your ear, what do you think about this person, or what do you think about that? And you can have a conversation with him, like Abraham and Moses had conversations with him, saying, Lord, I don't like that idea. Can we not smash them right now with fire and brimstone? Can we do something? And he goes, sure, glad you asked. He's waiting to listen to your ideas too, because we're a co-laborer with him. You don't just have to wait for a revelationary boom in your ear. Pray now for this person to be saved. We know he wants to save. How about we pour our hearts out over and say, Lord, come to this family right now. My heart is aching for this family. And he said, I'm glad you agree with me at last. He's waiting for us to catch on. And we start to live our life from the presence, his sweet, beautiful presence on our life. The sweet intimacy that he manifests with us. I had a dream last night. It was just weird. Well, it's just weird. Dreams are weird, aren't they? Weird. But I had a dream last night, and I was sitting in our lounge. I think Gunilla was in the lounge. Martin was in the lounge as well. And what they've seen sometimes, and it's just weird. No, it doesn't matter. But when the glory clouds appeared in some churches, feathers have appeared. They thought a pigeon had got stuck in the air conditioning until they realized there was no air conditioning in that room. And then feathers just started appearing in the room. Or gold dust appears in the room. Well, in this dream, this feather floated down into Martin's lap. And he said, what's that? Because we're sitting in our room. I said, maybe it's a manifestation in the presence of God. This is in the dream. It's in the dream. And suddenly, I was just covered with, like, fluffy down. It was coming down like bubbles out of a bubble gun. You know, just, you know, these things, they shoot bubbles. And it was just covering me. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed in the dream till I woke up with cramp. And it was just like the Lord saying, that's the sweetness. It's silly, in a sense, but that's the sweetness of his presence. Don't we just come and find joy in his presence as he does something that just makes us feel ridiculous? And he just says, I'm glad I made you laugh. You needed that. I think we needed that in our house this weekend. Won't go into that. But it was just a sweet touch of the Lord, because it was in one of those dreams where you just literally remember the whole thing because you're just coming awake just at that point. And I just laughed and laughed, and I hurt with laughing again. In the dream, and woke up from that. The sweetness, the intimacy of his presence. That's where we're living from. You don't have to get covered in feathers or gold dust. We're in the courts of God. We're in the courts of a Father who loved us, who's paid a price beyond measure to win that place for us. See the value that he places on having you in his presence. Stop thinking about one day in the sweet by and by, when we cross over the Jordan on the last day, we'll be in his presence. No, you're in his presence now. And he wants you to take the reality of his presence now and bring it down to earth. How do I know? Because he told us. He said, pray like this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do I know what his kingdom looks like in heaven if I'm stuck here in a smelly, rotten planet that doesn't look like the kingdom of heaven, gazing up at a concrete ceiling, wondering if my prayers are getting through? If I am seated with Christ in heavenly places and I'm enjoying sweet fellowship in thanksgiving and worship and awe of him who is a wonderful God and learning about his glory, which is his goodness and kindness that I keep seeing him pour out into people's lives, when I live in that and see that and I'm in heaven, then I can pray, your kingdom come in heaven as it is on earth. Why? Because I'm tasting the kingdom of heaven. When I start to read Psalms in these lovely translations, it makes me weep with joy to see the goodness and the kindness of God. Psalm 34, when I read it, this is when David was feigning madness. He was feigning madness because his enemies were all around him. And he's in a terrible, terrible state. I've got to read it. I've got to read some of this. Bear with me. He's feigning madness. Right, he's feigning madness. He's trapped on earth. He's surrounded by enemies. Do you feel like that? This is David's response. Lord, I'm bursting with blessings over what you've done for me. Does that sound like a man who's, oh man, you've got a breakthrough for me, God. My lips are full of perpetual praise. I'm boasting of you and all your works. So let all who are discouraged take heart. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. Let's make his name glorious to all. Well, this is David feeling low. Do you want to meet him when he's high? So he says, so listen to my testimony. I'll tell you what God has done. Testimony is powerful. This is where I'm going to wrap it up in a minute. I cried to God in my distress and he answered me and he freed me from all of my fears. Not some. All. He says, look. Oh, here we go. Look. Look to him. Join your life with his. See, come into his presence. Get into that place. And joy will come. Your faces will glisten with glory. You'll never wear that shame face again. Like that. When I was desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me, bringing his salvation when I needed it most. Do you feel like that right now? Right now, when you need it most, do you know what? It says, the angels stooped down and listened as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape. This they will do for everyone who fears God. I could read on, but I haven't got time. Wow, wow, wow. That's David on a low. Had he found the secret of actually coming from the courts of heaven? Yes. David established something in his lifetime that went right through the cross. Lots of the Old Testament stuff was changed, a new covenant. David established something. He established a tabernacle where there was 24-hour, 7-day-a-week praise to God, people going in to the holy place of God. How prophetic was that? In a time where they were used to entering the presence of God once a year with a sacrifice. And David set up a tent where worship went on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the presence of God. Before Jesus came. That went right through the cross because it exists. Why? Because it exists in heaven. And because it exists and existed in heaven, David was able to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth and God accepted it. He didn't say, oh, you can't do that, David. I've written a law to say you've got to kill 1,000 cows and 100 bulls and blah, blah, blah to even make this place holy before you can do it. He didn't say that, did he? He let David get on with it. Because David had a glimpse of heaven and he brought it to earth. How will that work for you if you get a glimpse of heaven and you bring it to earth? And the Word of God, the Word that before all time created everything and sustains and holds all things. What does it say? It says in Romans 10:8. The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we are preaching. The Word of God, which can create and sustain and give life, is actually on your lips and in your mouth. For you've been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, in other words, something that's going to continue, through the living and enduring Word of God. All flesh is like grass, so it fades away. But this is the Word that was preached to you, a living and enduring Word of God. Imagine yourself right now in the courts of heaven, in His presence, seeing what is going on in heaven. What's going on in heaven right now? Let your mind run with that. Is there any pain in heaven? Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any sad faces in heaven? Is there laughter in heaven? Is there joy in heaven? Is there song and worship in heaven? Is there health and life and peace and kindness and goodness? Yeah. Oh, we know some of the stuff that's in heaven then. We do know. So what are we doing with it? Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory on this earth. He is the Word, the one that sustains. When we realize, when we capture that vision of who we are, I am a son of the Most High Living God. I am a joint heir with Christ. I have an inheritance which is in heaven, and I can ask Him for it. That should make my prayer life so powerful, so dynamic, so exciting, I should not want to stop praying. Perhaps that's why Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. If I really believe that's what is on my lips, my prayer life should never end. To bring His kingdom here on earth, played the song twice, three times at the beginning of the church, I don't know. Bring your kingdom here. Wren Collection, good song. We are your church. Bring your kingdom here, Lord God. Take God at His word. If He says it, then it should be good enough for us. I know we don't always get there. I know there's a reality about that. But we should start declaring it. We need to start letting our lips put powerful declaration about what the kingdom of God is and speaking it out. We need to make strong declarations. We need to bring words of faith. We need to bring thanksgiving and praise that's constantly before Him. We need to say who God is in this neighborhood. Do you know why we need to declare that? All right. He's going to try and play the song. You know, we need to say that because the enemy doesn't like it. And the enemy is shouting at everybody in the neighborhood saying, you're tired. You're oppressed. Man, it's hardly worth getting out of bed. You'll never get a job. You'll never do anything. You won't amount to anything. Why does the enemy take so much time to do that? Because he knows how dangerous you are when you actually realize who you are. The enemy isn't afraid of what you can be. He's afraid of what you are. Because you were created in the image of the Most High God. You can see His kingdom torn down. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, and I am His child. Don't let the constant lies of the enemy stop you stepping into your rightful inheritance. See yourself today in the courts of God. And see the words that are on your lips, that they carry the authority of heaven. So take care what you say. Because if you start to say, this is rubbish, that's rubbish, that'll never work, I'm tired, I'm failing, all those things, some of it might be true on a physical sense, but it isn't true in a heavenly sense. And if you start to speak it out, you're starting to create that, because the word on your lips has the power to create. Because you're seated in heavenly places, the enemy's trying to tell you that it's not true. But it is true. You are seated in heavenly places, and your words will create. Take care what you're creating. It's a huge challenge. I'm finding that a daily challenge, minute by minute of the day. Really strong challenge, minute by minute of the day. Suddenly, a load of rubbish comes at you, a load of negative stuff, and I could agree with it, and we build a wall out of it. Or I disagree with it, and we dismantle the wall the enemy's trying to put up. And we lay a foundation that is from God, and bring peace and goodness and kindness from his throne into the room. Whenever we see something come into the room that is not of the kingdom of God, you need to say, I will not partner with that. I choose to be one who partners with the kingdom of God. There's lots of stories in the Bible where people spoke out because they had authority in words. And I don't necessarily think they spoke out what was the kingdom of God. But things happened. One story I read this week, Elisha, the guy who followed Elijah, he had double the anointing, double the mantle on him. And he walks out of a village one day and a bunch of kids come running after him, shouting, Baldy, Baldy. Okay. And he turns around and curses them. And 42 children were savaged and killed by a bear. Don't tell me that's the will of God. But that was the power of his words. I hope he learned something from that. And those souls were in the hands of God for God to deal with. Those lives were lost. He would deal with those in justice and kindness and fairness. But see, the power of our words are incredible. Elisha was given the powers of a prophet. And I'm not sure that story is in the Bible to tell us that God likes killing children with bears. Because it isn't. Because he doesn't. But you see how easily, out of taking offense, the power that is within us can bring a curse and brokenness and destruction. Or we can choose to not partner with offense. We can choose to create relationship. We can choose forgiveness. We can choose goodness. And we can declare the kingdom of God. Take care what we say. Be excited about your place in heaven today. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you that in your goodness and in your kindness, you lead us in a good way. We do mess up, Lord. We make mistakes. We get things wrong. But you are greater than our mistakes, because in you is the power to redeem. So we want to live, Lord, away from fear and move into faith. We want to trust that we can speak and see things happen. We want to declare your goodness every day. We want to see the works of the enemy destroyed. We want to be aware of the angels that you send around us to help us. We want to give you glory. We want our faces to glisten with your glory and your joy, like David said, because we choose to believe who we are. Catch the vision for what you've made in us. Bring your kingdom here. We pray. Amen.